This EPN episode is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook and 14-day trial today by signing up at audiblepodcast.com/EPN.
This is Amber MacArthur. Join me weekly for Command N, your technology web trend information source, right here on EPN.
The ePodcast Network, your guide to business and personal success.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are with Jim Beach, the author of the book School for Startups, which was published by McGraw-Hill in June 2011. Jim has started businesses and has taught entrepreneurship around the world. He was a member of the faculty of the Institute of International Business at Georgia State University from 2001 to 2009. During this time, he taught international entrepreneurship with a focus on risk avoidance, creativity, and internet marketing skills. Jim was the highest-ranked professor in the department for 12 straight semesters, was named Study Abroad Director of the Year for the state of Georgia, and was invited to guest lecture at the University of Colorado, the University of Texas Austin, University of Utah, and University of Hawaii. Jim Beach, it's our pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Jim, I know you think about entrepreneurship differently from most people. What do you think of creativity?
Well, you know, Eric, I think if you were to ask 99, 100 people on the street how you defined entrepreneurship, that almost every one of them would mention creativity as one of the most important parts of entrepreneurship. And that's unfortunate because so many people want to be entrepreneurs, but they're waiting for some sort of creativity lightning bolt to hit them, and they're going to wait forever. They'll say, oh, if I could just get my big idea, I would start a business. Well, you know, most of us aren't going to get a big idea. And so what we want to teach people is that, you know what, let's not wait on creativity. Let's do something else and take creativity out of the equation, out of the definition of entrepreneurship altogether. The Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, which is published by Babson University, says that 93% of the businesses around the world are copies of other businesses. So if you say you want to be an entrepreneur but don't have an idea, my response is, well, that's okay. Let's go out and find an idea that you can emulate, something that you can do that someone else is already doing. It doesn't have to be original. So when we say entrepreneurs are creative, sure, let's be creative. But let's not worry about originality stopping us from being entrepreneurs in the first place.
That sounds good to me. So what role does risk play into entrepreneurship?
Well, you know, the second part of the standard stereotypical definition is that risk is a big part of entrepreneurship. And so, again, these 9,900 people on the street, they're going to say, well, entrepreneurs are the people that take risk. Well, that's true. And, you know, Eric, I enjoy an occasional risk or something, but you know what? I'm not willing to risk my mortgage, my house, my child's college fund on it. And so when we say risk, I'd like to also help redefine that word for entrepreneurs and say that, you know, entrepreneurship does not have to be about risk. You can start a business for a very small amount of money, and instead of taking a huge risk, say, you know, double mortgaging your house, let's scale back our goals, perhaps, and create a business that is less risky. And there's lots of things we can do to reduce our risk. In the book, we talk about a guy named Randy Brown. Randy wanted to be an entrepreneur, but he had a horrible job working at a law firm as like an office manager type position. And he realized that he could do the same thing that he was doing for the law firm for himself. So he quit his job and got his old boss, his old law firm, to hire him on an outsourcing basis. So his risk was very small because he had a customer from day one. He was able to grow the business and is now making a lot more than he was in the beginning, but he took almost no risk. Very, very small amount of risk because he had that first customer. Another person we write about is a guy named Joey Tatum. Joey's dream was to own a bar or a restaurant. You know, so many men want to own a bar or a restaurant, Eric. And his dream was to own a bar, but he couldn't afford a nice, big, fancy bar with the brewing equipment and all that. So he opened a $5,000 bar. He had furniture from flea markets, and he only had like a case or two of beer in the back and a keg. But he got by, and he was able to go and build up his equity and build up his cash flow to the point where he could start, you know, buying more and more nice fixtures for the bar. And instead of risking it all up front, he risked only $5,000. So I love the idea of reducing risk, doing anything that you can to reduce risk, even if it means reducing the size of your goal. You know, I think Bill Gates in some ways broke entrepreneurship for everyone. He thinks you have to go out there and become a billionaire. Well, I'd love to see so many Americans go out and create a small business on the side after their day job to do something to diversify their income so that they have less risk in their current, you know, status quo lives. A lot of people think they have really secure jobs, work for great companies like Home Depot or Coca-Cola or something like that. But those companies have downsizing and right-sizing and, you know, layoffs all of the time, whereas the entrepreneur, say a landscaper who has 100 clients, he may have less risk in today's economy because he would have to lose all of his customers to be unemployed, whereas the guy who works for Coca-Cola would only have to lose one job, and that's very possible through no fault of his or her own. So we want to change the idea of risk and say, let's start businesses, but do it in as risk-averse a way as possible.
So you hear often, follow your passion and you'll never have to work again. So tell me about passion and how it plays into entrepreneurship.
Well, Eric, you know, I agree with that. Passion is a huge part of entrepreneurship. And I love the expression that you just said, you know, you'll never have to work a day in your life again. But that expression assumes that you're working 80 hours a week. You know it does. What that expression is, the 80 hours that you quote-unquote work is so pleasurable because it's something that you're passionate about that it doesn't feel like work. But it's still 80 hours a week. And, you know, I love passion. I think that passion can, again, be a big part of entrepreneurship. But I don't want you to wait or your listeners to wait to be an entrepreneur because they don't think that they can make money doing what they're passionate about. So my passion is woodworking. Unfortunately, I can't make a living as a woodworker. So I've realized that passion is great, but I'm going to keep my passion for the weekend and make money during the week. You know, so I unfortunately can't make a living doing what I'm passionate about, but I'm not going to let it stop me from being an entrepreneur in other ways. And so, you know, don't say, I don't have an idea, I'm not passionate, I'm not willing to take that risk. Let's put those things aside and say, let's start a business that has no creativity, no risk, and let's be passionate about the fact that I work for myself now. Let's be passionate about the fact that my future is more secure. Let's be passionate about the fact that I have three income streams instead of just one Coca-Cola income stream. Let's be passionate about the fact that I've stood up and taken my destiny into my own hands and control my future. That's enough to be passionate about. So let's not be passionate about the service or the product that you're offering, but the process itself, because freeing yourself from that concern about passion, again, allows you to be an entrepreneur now, allows you to go start a business today on something that you don't necessarily love, but you may love the process of working for yourself. You may love the security that it offers.
Today we are with Jim Beach, the author of the book School for Startups, which was published by McGraw-Hill earlier this year here on Enterprise Radio, brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. You can listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. You can get a free audiobook and a 14-day trial today by signing up at audiblepodcast.com/EPN. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/EPN. So, Jim, what conclusion can we draw from the way you just defined entrepreneurship?
Well, Eric, the most important conclusion is let's not wait. Let's go out there and find a business today that I can start on the side after my day job, or if unfortunately you're employed, unemployed, you can work full time on it. But go out there and go on Google and type in top 50 business ideas and start one of those things. You know, those are ideas that other people are doing. They've been tested. Go find an idea that's not going to cost a lot of money. Start a business on the side and diversify your income streams.
And can you comment on multiple income streams, if you would?
Yeah, sure. You know, the example that I gave earlier of the landscaper is a great model for all of us to follow. In a perfect world, our corporate listeners would start a small business on the side that maybe did $10,000, $15,000 of revenue the first year. Well, you know, that's a mortgage payment or a couple of car payments or something like that. And you may not think, $10,000 is not worth starting. It's not sexy enough. Well, you know, you make $10,000 the first year and then $20,000 the second year and say $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 the third year. And by that time, it becomes possible for you to quit your job and to start another small business on the side. So when we talk about income diversity, we're so concerned that in today's economy, you need to do as many things as you can to protect yourself from the dreaded layoff. And so we'd hope that you could start a small business on the side that will bring in some extra income to provide a little safety net for your family and then grow that business in 2 or 3 years. Don't be afraid. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that it's not sexy enough the first year to keep pursuing. Make $10,000 in year one. It's a big, big improvement on your financial situation in year 3 and 4.
And in conclusion, is there anything you can advise for the entrepreneur that maybe has an idea or something in place that he or she is wanting to monetize or to see a return for their efforts, idea, or a new startup?
Well, you know, thank you, Eric. There are a lot of things. There are so many people out there that want to help you. You know, this podcast, all of the other media outlets out there, people like myself. There are a lot of people who want to help you get going. So if you have an idea, don't be afraid to give it a shot. And the number one thing you can do is try to go sell something first. If you're afraid, go see if you can actually sell a product in the beginning and see if that will prove your model. If you've already got a sale, it's pretty easy to say, I think this business might work. Try to go sell something first, and if you can sell it, it's worth pursuing.
He is Jim Beach, the author of the book School for Startups, which was published by McGraw-Hill earlier this year. The website, schoolforstartups.com. Jim, thanks so much for joining us here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, and this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, and we thank you for tuning in.
For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
The more you can acquire market-valuable skills, the better off you'll be. People get scared. They think, oh, gee, I'm not going to get a job at this, or I can't do a job at that. There's always a demand out there. And what we've got to do is continually reinvent ourselves. If you think that what you did before is going to fix you for the rest of your life, you're in trouble.
The ePodcast Network, supported by the most renowned success stories in business today. Subscribe today and never miss another show on EPN.